My name is Ray. I'm very delighted to be with you this evening. Thank you for being here. Last week we talked about a prophetic culture, and tonight I want us to just talk about developing a prophetic culture. I believe there's something in each one of us that longs to connect with God, which longs to connect with the spiritual, something beyond ourselves. And so as people, every person you meet, there is a, what I would call, holy longing within every person you meet for God. Now, they may not express it, they may not even be aware of it, but inside, every person has this longing for the prophetic. In other words, they long to connect with God. And I think we are created to be prophetic people. We're created to talk with God, to interact with God. That's how we're created. We're created body, soul, and spirit. That spirit within us is designed to connect with the Father. And so you have built into you. You don't have to have anybody to teach you. You have heard the Father's voice numerous times in your life. You may not recognize it, you may not know it, but you have heard it, and that desire is within you, with everybody, Christian, non-Christian. Now, I want to say that as Christians, we are born into the family of God by the Spirit. Okay? So, when you came to faith, you came to faith through the renewing of the Holy Spirit in your life, Titus 3:5. Can anybody quote that? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by His mercy saved us, by the washing of the Holy Spirit and renewal of the Holy Spirit to us. So that's, we're born into it. And the only way you get to be a Christian is you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit is born into you. Then we talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that's even more. So I would encourage us tonight to recognize that we are people of the Spirit. It's natural. It's not something you have to design on your own, okay? So, Pastor Mel, if you could bring that up. Okay. So what I want to do tonight is just talk about how do we develop a prophetic culture. In other words, the church, when you walk in the doors, you should be expecting, this is a place where God shows up. Okay? When you walk into your place of employment, people should know that you're different. That you carry within you the kingdom of God. Every place we go, every place the church is, we carry the kingdom of God with us. So we should have this expectation that God is there. Last night I had a horrible night. It was really good in many ways, but inside my spirit I was just really churning. So we were invited to go and meet a pastor from Japan, and it was a gathering of Japanese missionaries that were a long time gone, okay, 30 years ago. And so we had this gathering, and this guy had just come from Japan. He's a pastor in Japan. And he was given a presentation. But there was something in my spirit that just, you know how you just, you want to shut up. And he starts out like this, well, we're the bonsai church. We're small, weak. Nobody in Japan wants to know anything about Jesus. He's just going on and on like this. And I'm going, Jesus Christ is Lord of Japan, not the emperor. Not Buddhism. He said, well, you know, Japan is a land of Buddhism. I'm going, no. It's the land of Jesus Christ. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So there should be something in you that responds when people are talking. Now, this guy's a wonderful brother. Actually, he's doing a great job. He loves Jesus. But you see what the world, the culture can do to us. It can mold us and shape us. And the Bible warns us, don't let that happen. You and I are prophetic people. We need to have the Spirit of God in us. That Spirit of God needs to be churning. And it's not negative. It's all positive. But we need to be declaring the Word of God. We need to be declaring the Kingdom of God. We need to live in that and allow it to live in us. Now, last week somebody asked me for a definition of prophetic, so I want to give that to you here. There's two words in Hebrew. Okay. There's two words in Hebrew. The one ruah means to see. So it's like where we get the word seer from. So in the spirit, you have five senses. And the most common ones that are used are the eye gate, the ear gate. Okay? But there are other senses. And the second one, the first one is used early on in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. But as you move forward, probably from Elisha on, you have this nabi. And what that is a bubbling up from inside of you. Now, this is really difficult to explain. When it happens, you know it. But you get something in your stomach that's bubbling up. It doesn't come from the head. It comes from down here. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Okay. So this is what Jesus is referring to here. The Spirit lives in you. So the Spirit wants to come up through you. And He speaks to our spirit. And it comes into our head. And here's what I want you to see. We're body, soul, and spirit. And it's important that we recognize that and deal with it. God designed your body. Okay? Some of us are male. Some of us are female. That's okay. That's the way God designed it. He designed us to be people who have a soul. We have personality and wills and minds and so forth. But our spirit is gender free. Does that make sense? So one of the things that's happening in our culture is we're having a confusion of this. Okay? So let me just say this again. Your spirit is gender free. Your body is gender aligned. In other words, you're either male or female. Your soul is in between. And you are healthy when you acknowledge both. Okay? When you acknowledge I'm male or I'm female. And when the spirit is, there's no male or female. Okay? The Bible says that, you know, in the spirit, there's no male or female in the kingdom of God. Okay? But in our culture, one of the things that Satan tries to do is he violates the purpose of God or the will of God. God created you, He designed you, either male or female, and He blessed that. That's good. One's not better than the other. He designed, that's His purpose for you. So if you were born a male, that's His purpose, that's His design, that's His will for you. And you need to live that out. You will hear in the spirit, but your personality, your soul is going to shape you in one form or the other. Does that make sense? So don't try to violate the gender part of it. Recognize that's a gift of God. It's how He designed you. It's His purpose for you. You need to live that out. Okay. So those two words, I hope that will be helpful, this idea of bubbling up. When we talk about getting a word, we're saying it has to come through your mind, but it doesn't originate in your mind. It's God's thought. Okay? I want us to look now at a prayer, and I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to ask you to pray it. But here's what it says. I can hear God's voice because He created me with the ability to hear Him. That's our spirit. Okay? I don't have to be perfect or to know everything in order to hear him. Everybody hear God, whether you're saved or unsaved. The only way you became a Christian is you heard the Spirit speaking to you, drawing you, convicting you. Okay? I hear the voice because I am a sheep. I choose to listen to God's voice. I will begin to hear with greater clarity, confidence, and consistency. The more I listen, the more I will hear God. I commit myself to a higher level of listening and hearing your voice. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to speak to me and for the privilege of hearing your voice. Okay, so if you can pray that, I just want you to pray it out loud and just do it from your heart. We're just asking God for greater levels of hearing, okay? Let's pray together. I can hear God's voice because he created me with the ability to hear him. I don't have to be perfect or to know everything in order to hear him. I hear his voice because I am a sheep. I choose to listen to God's voice. I will begin to hear with greater clarity, confidence, and consistency. The more I listen, the more I will hear. God, I commit myself to a higher level of listening and hearing your voice. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to speak to me and for the privilege of hearing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you a story. Last week I mentioned to you that, you know, throughout this week you could just prophesy to people, just speak to people. So I don't know if you've tried that at all, today I met a guy by the name Noah, and I just looked at his name, and I said to him, Noah, I sense that that God created you to hear God's voice, to hear his voice, and that you're going to be a man who learns how to hear God's voice and will follow that voice. In fact, I believe you're a man who's not going to listen to the voices of culture. But just like Noah in the Old Testament, you're going to be a person who hears God's voice and follows him and obeys him despite the resistance around you, the culture around you. And he just looked at me. He goes, really? Yeah? So all I did was just took his name and began to speak into him of what God intended for him. Because I can guarantee you this, God intends him to be a man after his heart, to obey his voice, and to obey his voice despite what happens in the culture. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to look around, pair up with somebody you don't know well. And Winnie, if you're going back to the piano here. I want us to sing a simple song that you know well. And then we're just going to take a moment and give you time as you connect with someone. And just use their name and ask the Lord to give you a word to speak to them using their name, their first name. So all you have to do is exchange first names and just say, God, what is it you want me to speak into this person? You may just using their name. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, you can do more if you want. But that one word of the name should, you know, as you pray, God should use that to speak into their lives. Okay? And if you're uncomfortable, you know, this is not you have to do this. We're just inviting you to do this. Would you stand together and we'll sing this song as a prayer? Just inviting God to open the eyes of our hearts. This comes out of Ephesians chapter 2. It's a prayer.
Open the eyes Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
That you would open the eyes of our hearts right now. Just give us a word for the person close to us so that we might speak into them life, your life. Speak into their destiny of who you have made them to be. So Lord, just download to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, just find a person close and share with them. This is off. So. Tom, I suspect that you were named after Thomas.
Tom. I think so.
a disciple of Jesus. A man who wanted to know with certainty who God, who Jesus was.
Right.
And I have that sense that God uses that in you, that you have committed your life, and you know, Thomas became a great evangelist in India. Hardly anybody knows what he did. There's very little record of who he was.
It is a very little in about it.
But just because we don't know, God knows everything about about you, and I think that God is using you. Maybe just like Thomas, who went to India, nobody knew. And you probably, God does. You know, people don't know a lot of what you do, but God does.
Yeah.
And so He just wants to encourage you and bless you.
Bless you. See, Ron, when you were on and stuff, I heard you and stuff. I heard you different times and stuff like that. And I never really knew you a lot. All the stuff you were good and stuff like that. See you out there at the restaurant, sitting back there, start in and stuff like that when you're preaching over there. I mean, some people don't take notice of that stuff, but I did. I don't know if you know Dusty used to
come. Oh, yeah.
See, that's how I learned. I was out there, and I'm sitting and looking at the counter one day. Didn't know him or anything like that. And him and one of the guys that worked with him came in there and they both sat right there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's where Iraq was.
Sure.
And then he started going over there to Saturday's Market and stuff. That when we had that, when Sarah and Evelyn were going over there. That's how I learned to not live and stuff like that.
Okay.
You gotta watch that kind of stuff. It's like, I was born, I don't know if you know, I was in the old world in my mind, famous boys and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And for about, probably I'd say about 15 years, we didn't go to church at all because what it was, my wife was from Palmyra, and I was just, and we got married, and we were going to the Brethren Church there in Palmyra. And, of course, I was younger, and I had started drinking and stuff. And we lived in Union Deposit, and there was a bar right there in Union Deposit. And I'm in there one night, and here come a whole bunch of guys that were supposed to be in the Brethren Church in Palmyra, leaders of it. Come in the bar there. And, and I just said to my wife, I said, hey, I can do as good as them guys without even, without even going and stuff. So we didn't go for a long time. Then we moved over here, right next to Luke. And of course, I was in 79. Edna kept after us and after us. Finally, in 83, when I cut myself here with a chainsaw, and that's when I called Duke and stuff. And then I started coming here regular.
Anybody want to share? Did you feel comfortable in doing that? Just speaking? Okay. Good. Okay. Well, tonight I want to just focus on healthy prophetic attitudes. And we probably only need one. That's faith. But I'm going to share a few. And I hope this will be helpful to you to raise your expectation level. Okay. The first one, I'm going to give you some. I just want to talk about a prophetic culture. I believe that in a prophetic culture, everybody has the expectation that you can hear from God. Now, I know some people say, well, you know, the elders do, or certain people do. I'm just telling you that according to your Bible, the Bible says we are to earnestly desire the prophetic. It doesn't say some people should or the elders should. It just says earnestly desire. You know, there used to be a statement that say, don't seek the giver. Have you heard that before? Well, I want to tell you something. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, earnestly desire the gifts. If you're a Christian, guess what? You already have the giver. So why are you seeking the giver? I mean, I understand I want more of the Holy Spirit. I pray for more of the Holy Spirit. But the reality is that 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to earnestly seek the gifts, especially prophecy. So a prophetic culture is one where everybody realizes that hear God's voice, because there are sheep, they can hear Jesus, and they can follow. Okay, so I want us to just be clear on that. Second, there's a sense of the anticipation that the Holy Spirit is going to manifest himself. He's going to speak directly to his people. When we come together, I believe there should be this expectation. I was glad when they said it to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Something good's going to happen. When we come together, Jesus made this prophetic statement. Listen very carefully. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Wow, do you understand that? Jesus himself is showing up. If Jesus is showing up when we gather, don't we think we should expect something good to happen? Jesus himself is walking in among us, so we should anticipate his presence to be there. Okay, so it's not specifically about structures and activities, but at values and principles. In other words, you know, the interesting thing is that if you look at different churches, there's all kinds of structure. We spend a tremendous amount of time on structure. But the reality is it's the values that we hold. You know, I've been in churches where we changed the structure and the values didn't change. Guess what? We still did the same old things no matter what we said. So it's the values that we, this anticipation of the prophetic, to say that we believe that we serve a living God, that God's real, that God can interact with His people, that God wants to interact with His people. That's what He did with Adam and Eve. He was there, and that's what He's restoring us, so that we are people who hear His voice. So it's important to address the issues of culture before structure. Okay, in other words, God wants you to get your expectation up, your ears open, your eyes. He wants, that's what Paul prays for. He expects us to listen, and I don't know how you structure that. Everybody's going to do it differently, but here's what I know. It's not the structure that's important. It's the expectation that it's a prophetic culture. A prophetic culture sees Jesus as the King and His kingdom arriving here and now. Okay? Jesus told His disciples, when you go out and heal people, how would you like that as instruction? That's what Jesus taught us to do. Go out and heal people and tell them the kingdom of God is near. Okay? Look, don't look to me and say, well, that's weird, Pastor. No. This is what Jesus taught His disciples. Go out and heal people and tell them that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. You may not see it. You may not touch it. But remember, Jesus is the guy who stood before Pilate and said, my kingdom, I'm a king. My kingdom is not of the world. You don't see my disciples out there fighting for me because my kingdom is not of this world. But it's real. And if Jesus can stand before Pilate and do that, shouldn't we be able to stand before our friends and say, hey, the kingdom of God is real? It really is. Okay. Now, chapter 14, that's where I'm at. 1 Corinthians 14 is where we were last week. It starts out by saying, pursue love. In other words, do everything out of whatever gift you have. Remember, love is always the trump card. No matter what happens, love is a trump card. So if you get a prophetic word and they don't like it, or if you don't get a prophetic word, it's okay. Just love people. Love is always the thing that we're supposed to be about. So if you know this past week and there was this conflict, this riot, I want to tell you something. It's not whether you're liberal or conservative. It's whether you love. That's what our call is, to love. Okay? So as prophetic people, as a prophetic culture, we need to say love is the predominant thing. When people come to church, they may not get healed. They may get healed. In fact, Sunday, I preached from Psalms 107, verse 20. It says, God sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their troubles. Okay? So afterwards, a lady comes up to me and she says, oh, you preachers, you all preach about healing. I never get healed. And I had to say, okay, the first thing I need to do is love this lady. Okay? Not that she gets healed or not. That's not my job. That's God's job. My job is to love her. And so she went on about all her aches and pains and how she's never been healed. And so I prayed for her. And she said, well, you prayed for me last week. Didn't do any good. And I said, well, we're going to pray again. Because I believe I serve the living Lord. And God didn't tell me that I'm the miracle worker. He just said, pray, you know, to bless her. And so we have to love people. That's our primary calling. Okay? So, love. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. It's not one or the other. Pursue love, but pursue, that's basically what it says, in that pursuit of love, we desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I want you to hear that. Okay? It's special. That's why this emphasis on here this last week and this week is on prophecy, because we're to especially desire prophecy. Okay. So I believe that one of the attitudes we need is just a commitment, a solid commitment to the now of the future. That's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is saying we want to experience the kingdom right now. Now let me ask, do you know the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we want to experience now the kingdom that's in heaven. So we are to bring the kingdom down. That's our task, is to pray it down, to believe it. And if we pray for it, then we act on it. We act as if. So why is love so important? Because God is love. That's who God is. That's what the kingdom's about. So we love because we believe in the kingdom. Now, we can be activists. And believe me, I believe we should care for the poor. We should do all those things. But we are not activists. We are kingdom people. We do things because of our motivation is that Jesus Christ would be glorified, God's kingdom, we would live in God's kingdom. In other words, we share our goods with people because the kingdom is now. We love people because the kingdom is now. We do no violence. Why? Because the kingdom is now. We act as if the kingdom is here already. Why? Because we believe in it so strongly that we are prepared to live as if we're in the kingdom right now. Does that make sense? We believe it, therefore we act as if we are in God's kingdom now. First John 3:2 says this, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." Notice the word now. Right now we are children of God. "And what we will be has not yet been made known." You're better than what you know. Did you know that? What you are now, you're a child of God. That's what you are now. You're going to be better. "But we know now that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, John Weisberger could tell us all about sequence and all this stuff. This is a good verse for you, John. But what the problem is, John's learned to be like a child and just inquisitive and think about these things. And we sort of read this and go, okay, that's for when we die and go to heaven. No. We shall see him as he is right now. Jesus is here right now, tonight. He's powerful. He's alive. He's working. He's speaking to us. And so we can get excited about Jesus because he's right here now. And our goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? And so when we are in our sane mind, we respond to who he is. And sometimes when we're in the flesh, we get out of that. We forget that who we are. We are children of the Most High God. Okay. And then, not only do we have a commitment that says the kingdom is now, I'm going to live this way, but we have a reverence for the Holy Spirit's fire. This idea of being open and ready to experience the Holy Spirit, we need to reverence this. We need to realize that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. And so you and I need to develop a culture in which we welcome and host the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that you yourself are the temple of God? That's what the Bible says. We're the temple of the living God. Everywhere we go, we're hosting the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to have this sense of reverence and that as we, nobody has to respect us, nobody has to treat us fine, but we need to have this holy reverence for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and treat him like that. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Okay? That means you can. Don't put it out. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. We talked about this last week, but sort of the last part of this, but what I'm trying to focus on here is don't put out the Spirit's fire. The Spirit is the fire. And John the Baptist said that Jesus is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, there's lots of meanings to that. I'm not going to take time to unwrap that, but we need to realize that fire has to be continually stoked. It has to be fed. We have to encourage it. So we need to be people who said, okay, we're going to avoid the Holy Spirit. We're not going to talk to the Holy Spirit. We're going to ignore the Holy Spirit. No, we want that fire to burn in us. This is the desire. And don't treat prophecies with contempt. Contempt is just ignoring it, scoffing at it. I want to tell you something. You are a prophetic people. Every time you wake up in the morning, every time you come to church, you are people who proclaim that Jesus Christ is going to come again. That's a basic understanding of every Christian. You are people who proclaim that Jesus Christ is living, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive. These are prophetic statements. Our culture does not believe that. People treat the church as if it's tradition, it's old, it's outmoded. I want to say to us that you and I need to keep the fire burning hot. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's alive. Okay? So we should not treat that prophecy as if it doesn't exist. I'm talking about the big time. Now, there's other prophecies all through Scriptures. Every promise in the book is a prophecy that you put your faith in, and we'll give you a chance to pray into some of them tonight. But I want us to grasp is that we're prophetic people. The very basic culture of what you're born into in the church is this prophetic institutions, prophetic organization, that everybody is baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. There's fire in us. We have to keep that going. Don't quench it. Don't put it out. Don't say, well, it's really tough. I don't know. We're such a small little group of people. I don't know if it's worth going to church today. Come on, folks. We are the future. We're the people of the living God. And all through the Old Testament. Look it up. Primarily Exodus and Ezekiel. God is saying, then they will know. God wants us to know. What? The whole world sits in darkness. The whole world's in darkness. It doesn't matter whether it's America or Asia or Africa or Europe. The whole world's in darkness. The whole world says, hey, the fire's gone out. It doesn't exist. You and I are the people who are going to keep the fire burning. Okay. So, worship in spirit and truth. All I'm going to say here is that when we come to church, we need to come to worship God. We don't worship the pastor, the worship leader, all the other stuff. We come to worship God in spirit and in truth. That means that, and I understand that we're all human. God's created us as social beings and all that. But we come to worship the living God in spirit and in truth. And we don't come to be entertained or to get this thing right or not. We just come with this heart of worship to God, and we give him all that we are. So we offer ourselves in worship. Acts 13, 1 and 2 has this really interesting sort of vignette of the New Testament church. It says, now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And here they were, just a group of people come together. They were praying. They were ministering to the Lord. The different translations will say it differently. But I want you to see that they were focused on the Lord. They weren't over here singing who has the best song or who has the best teaching. No, they were just ministering to the Lord. That's really what a prophetic community understands. But if you're developing a culture, it has to be a culture of worship. My friends, that's what the church does. We worship. Worship is broad. It includes everything we do. But I want you to understand it's worship. Now, embrace the prophetic culture we were born into. We've always talked about this, but you need to embrace this, that you are a prophetic person. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're baptized with the Spirit of God. So this is, I want you to embrace that as people. And Titus 3:5, I used this earlier. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done. You're not better than your non-believing friend. You're not better than him. He didn't save you because you're good. He didn't save you because you did all the right things. But because of his mercy, when you talk to an unbeliever, you should be full of mercy. Why? Because it was mercy that got you into the kingdom. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, don't look at your neighbor and say, "I wish I had as much of the Holy Spirit as you do." No. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on us. How? Generously. Wow. It's amazing, okay? So, you can be generous with other people because God was generous with you. Okay, openness to the Spirit of God in the Word. Again, I realize these are just basics, but it's really important for us, I think, to learn this. We're just open to the Holy Spirit. If you're like me, I'm task-oriented. I know what I want to do, what needs to happen, and I want to do it. But we just need to be open to the Holy Spirit because he may have something different for you to do. And so just this idea of openness to the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to love the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word always go together. And I want you to hear that again. The Word and the Spirit always go together. There was, early on in the Quaker movement, there was a division because one side of the Quaker says, well, it's the Word. The other said it's the Spirit. No, they go together. There's not a, shouldn't be a debate there. And when you give a prophetic word, you need to know that it has to be, one of the tests is does it measure up to the Word of God, okay? So, this is from Isaiah. It says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore." This is from Isaiah 59. It is quoted in Acts chapter 2 in Peter's sermon. Okay? Now, this is an Old Testament covenant, but this is God's promise to us, that his Spirit that's on us is not just going to be in us, it's going to be out of our mouth. This is a prophetic. This is when I say we're prophetic people, our prophetic culture. This is the covenant that you will be able to speak out and declare the mighty works of God. And this is for who? It's not just for you. It's not just for your children. It's for your children's offspring from this time forth and forevermore. Don't ever think, well, okay, that was prophetic time back there. This is not a prophetic time. No, I'm just saying, We need to be a prophetic culture because this is the covenant God has made with us. It's your birthright. It's your inheritance. The prophetic is what God designed you to be and to do. Now, I want us to say, you know, if we don't put out the Spirit's fire, we have to find a way to keep it burning. So engage in prayer and fasting. Notice, if you go back to Acts chapter 13, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So I want to encourage us. This is not a culture of fasting. I have to admit that this is not a big thing with me. I do it weekly, but probably not as long as I should. And all I would say is that there's something that fasting does for us that keeps the fire going, that focuses. I don't think it influences God. I think it opens us more to the Spirit that's within. Okay? Now, basically, I said all that to get to here. But I want us to have this expectation and to wait on God. This is really, really important. I believe that we need to be people who expect God to speak because this is what He said. My sheep will hear my voice. The prophetic word will be in your mouth for every generation. We need to embrace this and expect it and wait for it to happen. Now, all I'm saying here is that we need to develop a culture, a prophetic culture, a culture that anticipates that God is living, that God's alive, that His promises, that His word is true, and it's for us, and it has not died out. God hasn't changed His mind. This is who the church is. We are prophetic people. We have God's Spirit living in us, and that Spirit will bubble up in us. Now, I recognize that we're not all prophets. I'm not speaking about prophets. I'm speaking about prophecy, and that I believe that this is our birthright. The Bible says that God has placed in the church a fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's a fivefold ministry. I believe that God gives some people sort of an office gift. I'm talking about the people like me, the average, ordinary Christian. This is our birthright. Now, what do you do to develop this? Well, I think you practice it. You pray for it. You ask it. What we're doing here is all I'm suggesting is we do exactly what 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2 tell us to do. Earnestly seek the gifts. What do you do when you seek? Last week I gave you four things for that. But I'm just encouraging us to say, be who you are. You are a child of the living God. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You've been born anew. God has poured out His Holy Spirit generously on us. There is a fire in your belly. Let it out. Okay? Okay, I want to ask Irene and Kim, would you both come tonight? Okay. When I was praying about this, I just got a simple word for the two of you, and it was hidden. Now, I don't believe that necessarily means interpretation is the same. In other words, you may not both be hidden in the same way. Does that make sense? But I just have a sense that both of you have this sense of being hidden, and God says I'm supposed to tell you that you are not hidden, that He sees you. He sees your heart. He knows all about you. So there's no hiddenness about you, whether in terms of your personal life, your own giftedness in the Spirit, or your ministry. God just wants you to know you're not hidden. Okay? So I would like two people to come, stand behind them, and we're going to pray for Kim and Irene. And while two people decide to come, I want to tell you that one of the things that I just heard was, you know, in the Old Testament and New Testament, there are prophetesses. And some are widows, some are married, some are single. But the idea of a prophetess is clearly in the Scripture. There's at least 10 that are named, and there are many other women who have demonstrated prophetic gifts and in prophetic ways. The one that the Lord really just highlighted to me is Huldah, who was in the time of Josiah. And you remember they had a cleansing of the temple. They found the book of the law. And the king brings up his two best men and said, okay, I want you to seek the Lord. What did they do? They went to Huldah, the prophetess, and got a word from her. Okay? So I want you to know, and the Bible says she was in this, she was living in the second quarter. I take it she wasn't in the best of housing, the best location. She was a common, ordinary person. But they knew, oh, this is a lady we can go to and get a word from the Lord. I believe that's what God wants you to know, that, that you can be people who other people can come to and will know you as spirit women, people of the Spirit. Okay? So, if the two of you would just come, lay hands on Irene and Kim, and then would one of you just feel comfortable praying for one by one there? And you can give her the mic there if you like. Yeah.
Lord, I just lift up Kim to you, Lord, Father God, and I just thank you and praise you for her, Lord, Father God. She's not here by accident tonight, Lord, Father God, but by your purpose, Lord, Father God, and we just thank you, Lord, Father God, for just touching her right now, Lord, Father God, and just healing her and blessing her and keeping her safe, Lord, Father God, and every day that she follows you, Lord, Father God. Don't know what is going on, Lord, Father God, but I just feel that she needs your peace and your love surrounded around her right now, Lord, Father God. And I just thank you and praise you for it, Lord, Father God, that you're touching her and you're healing her right now, Lord, Father God. By your stripes, she's healed in your name. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these two wonderful women of God. Lord, as our brother shared, as he felt within his spirit about the word hidden, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that I just think of the scripture, how your word says that the kingdom of God, Lord, is like a seed hidden in the field. And Father, we thank you, Lord, we pray that may the manifestation, Father God, of your kingdom, Lord, even that which was started as a seed with us hidden, that even the things of the gifts, Father, things of that which you're doing within the inner man of these two women. Father, we pray, Lord God, that there would come a great revealing, Lord, of your goodness, and Father, of more the new man that's within. Father, I thank you, Lord, it's like David, Father, when he went out to fight Goliath. Lord, if there wasn't a Goliath, Lord, the warrior inside would have never really been revealed in a greater measure. And Father, we just pray, God, that, Lord, even the circumstances, Lord, that have faced them, Lord, the things that have challenged them, Lord, God, to such a way, to such a core, Lord, has not been for a destruction or a doubt or a fear, for your word says you've given not the spirit of fear. But Lord, that the circumstances have been nothing but an opportunity that would bring about a great revealing of that which was hidden, that the Master Potter has been working on the inside. And Father God, we just pray together, Lord, with our arms extended, Father, there would be such a revealing. Father, may the revealing of the new man, Father God, come forth, even as Lazarus was spoken into life again. Lord, did not the grave close, were they not unwrapped, that the new man, the resurrected man, would be revealed? Father God, we pray, Lord, that the wrappings of fear that has tried to come on every front and corner, Lord, would be unwrapped, Father, within their mind, within their spirit. Father God, within every area, Lord, even concerns of their family, fears, Lord God, of thoughts that, well, Satan would come saying your family will never come into the fruition of what God has, never come into the destiny. Lord, we rebuke the lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the revealing of the warrior within them, Father God, for the battle is the Lord's. But thank you, Lord God, that you have called these women, Lord, even like Deborah's, Father, that would not be afraid to stand on front in the fierce of battle. But Lord, that would be women that would proclaim the word of the Lord and say, the Lord hath said, and the Lord hath spoken unto me. And Lord, that they would be a women, Father God, that Lord, not only would they begin to see victory within their own lives, but God, that they'd be women, Lord, with prophetic sight. Lord, that would begin by the Spirit of God to call that which is hidden in other people, Lord God, out to the surface. And discern the circumstances, Lord, times where we could pray away the circumstances. Oh, Lord, let it not be. But yet, Lord, by the discernment of the Spirit, say, oh, Lord, but God, reveal your glory out of me. And Father God, that Lord, that the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord, would come forth out of the utterance of their lips by virtue of the seed of your word. Lord, that's been growing within the inside. Lord, though they say, but Lord, what is it that which you're doing within me? But God, even as deep cried on unto deep, and circumstance has revealed itself, Father, we thank you, the Lord, that it shall put a demand upon the good work, the strong work, Lord God, that would even come, Father, like fresh fire, Lord, that was shut up within their bones. Now, Father God, that, Lord, they would begin to respond and say, surely it was not by my might, nor by my power, nor my own ability, but it was the Spirit of the Lord that came forth out of me. And Father, we thank you, Jesus, Lord, for the clarity of them walking, God, into the days yet ahead, knowing how to war and wage a good warfare. But Lord, warring, Father, with the Word, warring led by the Spirit. And God, we thank you, God, that that which has been hidden, Lord, shall be revealed, and God shall usher them into the day of unknown territory until now. Lord God, territory of victory, territory of promises that are spoken out, yea, not only unto them, but even unto their family. And Lord, as Nehemiah said, war not only for yourself, but fight for your family. Fight for a cause. Fight for that which God is looking to restore. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, that God, though the battle is yours, that you will move through these mighty women of God, and they shall see the victory. They shall be stirred with hope. And they shall know that surely the Lord has promised good promises unto us. And we will begin to see, as faith has led us all this way, we shall see the manifestation of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Through our lives and our families' lives and all that which He's caused us to speak and to declare. All, Lord, because you have begun, he that have begun a work in me shall perform it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Okay. Now, I want to give an opportunity either for Kim or Irene or anybody here. If you sense you have a word from the Lord, you want to give it, I just give you an opportunity to share at this point.
John and I have been coming to this church off and on for a number of years. It's not our home church, but people of God are here, of course. And I've just always had this sense that the Lord wants to do a brand new thing here. I can't describe it beyond that the things of the past are the past. they're to be left in the past. It's a new day. And only the Lord knows what that looks like. But it's so, that feeling in me when I'm ever in this place is that He wants to bring it forth. And it has to be birthed. But the past has to be let go. Tangibly let go. And I'm always a person that has to do something tangible. Like the Lord says, draw a line and you can't, I go out and I draw a line. And I step over it and I say, I'm not going back. It's like, I think you were the one about the cross. The line is behind you. And you have to not go back over the line. So I just want to encourage you. There's such hope and promise in this. But that's it. The past is the past. You've got to go beyond and cross over that line. Hallelujah.
Well, I've been going to this church for a long time. I've seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go. But I'm encouraged in my heart because I believe God has a nucleus of people that are, we're kind of like the midwife watching the birth. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. He's preparing. We're like in midwife training. And that we are there to see the birthing complete. And I know that God does. I confirm with Kim that I am encouraged. We don't look at numbers right now, but we look at what God is doing. And I think it is that deep, deep work that's within each one of us. You know, we feel the birthing pains, and we know that God is bringing forth His highest in our lives.
Mm-hmm. The past was amazing. Not to say in any way that it wasn't good. It was a season. But there's a new season and a new thing.
Okay. Ed. Pastor Mel.
Brother Ray, you have been speaking this about being a prophetic people and just... what you were saying, Kim and Irene, just this past week, we had a person drop by and wanted to share hearts and was bringing up things of the past and just unburdening the heart. And the Holy Spirit said, you listened. You listened. Because it needed to come out. Okay. It needed to come out. And you know, Brother Ray, I start just doing what you told me to do. And we had revival.
Oh, awesome.
Greater than I've ever seen this person move into. Because we know her from way back. And she was just so excited about right here what God's doing today.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, it is a testimony, really, of what you're proclaiming and what you're telling us to do, I'm doing.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's read this verse together. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, isn't that amazing? That God knows beforehand what's going to happen. And the prophetic is this declaration. Jesus knows He's coming back. He declared it. Just like He declared His death, said 3 days going to rise again, He said, I'm coming back. And I want you to know that we're our people. He's already declared it. And there's many, many other things the Lord has declared, wants to declare. God's at work. We're a prophetic community. We are people. Now, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Whatever the prophetic is, my friends, remember it's always done in the context of love. Okay? Now, I just want to put these up here. These are names of God, and there are just a few because these all I could get on the screen that I thought you could read. But what I want us to do, if you'll do this, and again, I'm not demanding that you do it, but if you want to, I have two exercises that I want you to do, and what we can do is I want you to form two lines facing each other. Okay? It may be best if we just do it in the center aisle here. Just form two lines. I want you to face each other. Would you just do that? Just two lines down the center, looking somebody in the eye. Doesn't matter who it is. Very simple. What I'd like you to do is, as you look at that person, I want you to choose a name from God. It could be one on the screen or another that you know. For instance, one that's not up, the baptism of your love. And Grace Chapel would become known as a love place that's full of life of the Spirit and full of the prophetic. Lord, we believe this is our birthright, to have your Spirit living in us and speaking through us. You promised us in the new covenant that your word would be in our mouth. And it would be forever. So it's not going to end. We can flow in the Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would flow in this congregation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.